പരിശുദ്ധ നാമം വാഴ്ത്തപ്പെടുമാറാകട്ടെ. നമുക്ക് വീണ്ടും കൂടി വരുവാൻ ദൈവം തന്നിരിക്കുന്ന അവസരത്തെ ഓർത്ത് സ്തോത്രം ചെയ്യുന്നു. ഇന്ന് ദൈവവചനത്തിൽ നിന്ന് സംസാരിക്കുന്ന വ്യക്തിയെ ഒന്ന് പരിചയപ്പെടുത്തുവാൻ ആഗ്രഹിക്കുന്നു. ബിജു കെ തോമസ് ബാംഗ്ലൂർ പ്രിംറോസ് മാർത്തോമ ഇടവകാംഗമാണ്. കഴിഞ്ഞ 20 വർഷക്കാലമായി ഫാമിലി മിനിസ്ട്രിയിൽ ബാംഗ്ലൂരിലും മറ്റ് ഇടങ്ങളിലൊക്കെയും പ്രവർത്തിച്ചുകൊണ്ടിരിക്കുന്നു. 2011 മരാമൺ കൺവെൻഷൻ്റെ കുടുംബവേദിയിൽ കുടുംബമായിട്ട് പ്രിയപ്പെട്ട ബിജു ആൻഡ് ഷീബ അവർ രണ്ടുപേരും നേതൃത്വം നൽകുകയുണ്ടായി. ഇന്ന് ഈ ദിവസങ്ങളിൽ നമ്മളോടുകൂടെ ആയിരിക്കുന്നു. എൻ്റെയും എൻ്റെ സഹധർമ്മിണിയുടെയും ബന്ധമാണ്. എൻ്റെ സഹധർമ്മിണിയുടെ ഫസ്റ്റ് കസിനാണ്. തീർച്ചയായിട്ടും ബിജുവിൻ്റെ സാന്നിധ്യം വളരെ അനുഗ്രഹിക്കപ്പെട്ടതാണെന്ന് മനസ്സിലാക്കുന്നു. അദ്ദേഹത്തെ ദൈവജന ശുശ്രൂഷയ്ക്കായിട്ട് ക്ഷണിക്കുകയും ചെയ്യുന്നു.
I bring greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. In fact, thank you Achan for welcoming me here to this congregation, and thank you Achans too for giving me the privilege to come and share God's word here this morning. So I would not want to take too much time and just get into the message. So a couple of things I thought that this particular Sunday I want to actually welcome each young and old believer here and acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit here this morning, even as we dwell upon His word, that He will continue to speak to us. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Sovereign and gracious God, thank you, Lord, Master Lord, for giving us a day, Lord, where we are able to come here this morning, and Lord, dwell on Your word and meditate on Your word. Lord, speak to us from Your word, Abba Father, Lord, this morning. Thank you, Lord, Master Lord, for bringing us together as a congregation to worship You, to adore You, and to glorify You. Pray, Master Lord, that hide me, Your servant, Abba Father, Lord, behind Your cross, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of hearts be acceptable and pleasing to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. As a church, this Sunday, we are celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. That is, we are on the 50th day. That is, after 7 weeks, we come into the time where Jesus, I think last week too, you all heard the message about the work, the promise of the Holy Spirit, which was dwelt from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. Now, if you look at what was happening in the last 7 weeks, was that we understand that on the day of the Passover, Jesus Christ was crucified and He was resurrected. And if you very closely recollect what was read during the gospel, we see that very clearly it says this on the evening of the first day of the week when the disciples were together. So the gospel reading, very interestingly, you know, when I was dwelling upon this passage, even as I was flying from India, I was just dwelling on it. I realized something very unique in these four passages that have been chosen for as a church day here this Sunday. One is we learned and read and understood from the reading from Ezekiel, that is, God was actually not only just promising a physical restoration, but also looking at it more spiritual, because they were in the hands of the Assyrians, the hands of the Babylonians. They were already being conquered, so they were giving great hope. Now, keeping that at the background, we also had two readings, Acts chapter 2 verses 1 to 13, and Acts 11 was the deacon's reading, that is Acts 11 verse 19 to 26. And in both these two passages, you see the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, Last week we were reminded, yes, that the Holy Spirit is the counselor, the comforter, and the spirit of truth is what you learned and heard last Sunday from your message from Achan. Now, if you look at the gospel writer of particularly from John, where the gospel reading was read this morning, you find that from chapter 13 to 17, Jesus is spending very personal time with his disciples. He is probably telling them and giving them the hope that is there beyond his physical presence in this world. And we see here, that is why so much emphasis was laid on chapter 14. Chapter 15 talks about being the vine and the branches, being the branches and all, and goes on. And you see from chapter 18 onwards, it is about his last week of his earthly ministry. And you find that from verses 18 to 20 or 21, he's the last few days before he was going to the cross. He of his cross and death, burial, and resurrection and ascension. Now, interestingly, if you see here, as I was mentioning here, from this is all just to give you a background, and we come to the passage today. We find here that it happened on the resurrection evening, the first Sunday. Jesus did not knock and come in, and what did he do? He just appeared. So he just appeared there in close room, and the situation was the disciples were gripped with fear. They did not know. And they had gone through a phase where there was so much amount of trouble from the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the Roman soldiers, the governor, and all of that was happening around Jesus and the disciples. And we know about how Peter disowned and all of that, and finally how he was restored back. All of this happened. Now, when you look at it, he was gripped with fear. It is about the scene. If you look at today's Gospel 19, chapter 20, verse 19 onwards, it is about being in a close room, gripped and filled with fear, in a locked room that they were. Now, if you look at it, they were sitting in the upper room and obviously did not know what to do. They must have been contemplating that they will go back to their fishing trade, go back to whatever they were doing as their profession earlier. Quite a lot of confusion must have been there in the minds of the disciples who were seated there. Now, what you see very interesting and very powerful here in today's gospel reading is that, and that is the verse on which we will meditate and dwell and ask God to speak to us this morning. Now, if you see here, he says there in verse 21 and 22, he says this, and Jesus said, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you." So he's obviously giving us all peace. And he gave peace to the disciples then. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So it is on that day, on that Sunday, on the resurrection morning, he's asking the disciples and asking the disciples to receive the Holy Spirit is what is being said there. Now, if you just go back, I want to take you back to something that has happened even before that. If you look a little bit at the background, and when Adam was created by God, he breathed into his nostrils and he gave life. He gave life and life in abundance, and that's how Adam and Eve came into this world. He created Adam as his own image. Male and female, he created them. In Genesis 1, we know about it. The creation story, we know. Now, after that, in Genesis chapter 3, you find that sin was marred. They were covered by sin, and the sin, and because of the fall of man, everything was being lost. The Garden of Eden of experience was being lost. Now, if you look at the passages today here, what does it say? It is talking about the Feast of Pentecost on the 50th day. Yes, come Holy Spirit. Last week you learned about the promise of the Holy Spirit. And here, what is it being said in this particular gospel reading here? The Holy Spirit is already, he's breathed into the disciples once again. They all were all physically born, but they were still imperfect people. So we come to a church as a body of imperfect people where only the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect. And what do we see here? Because of his perfection, we are made perfect. Because of his grace, we are being made perfect. Now, and he's actually very specifically saying that. He's telling them, yes, receive the Holy Spirit is what he's saying. Come, Holy Spirit, now asking them to receive the Holy Spirit. Now you can see the work. Now, if you go back to the gospel writers, we all know from how the gospels were all being written. It was all written much, much later, 50, 60. John wrote it probably in the 80 AD, much, much later. He was probably writing it down in the island of Patmos. He was writing it somewhere there. Now, if you look at all of that, And if you go back to even John chapter 16 verse 7, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good. He's telling the disciples, it is for your good that I am going away. That is a physical Jesus is going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, is what he's telling. But if I go, I will send him to you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit will be sent to the disciples and to the people. And is what is being said there. Now, Jesus was telling his disciples that I have to come and complete a mission. He had a mission to be completed. So he knew when he was writing John's, that is when John was probably writing inspired by the word of God. What do you see here? He was very clearly writing and telling them that, yes, they were asked to receive the Holy Spirit. They're literally breathing into him. A new life was being given. So as a church, what do we today believe in? It is a feast of the Pentecost. It is come, Holy Spirit, and renew the creation. So there's already a creation. He's asking us to renew ourselves and become new and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is exactly what happened to the disciples. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing here. Now, if you look at it, you see here, he wanted to complete this mission. And it is not about the physical presence of Jesus of Nazareth in the physical form there, but in the spiritual form is what Jesus was talking about there. I have to go, for the person of the Holy Spirit is to indwell in the lives of the people who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Redeemer. So the great redemptive plan of Jesus Christ is slowly starting to unfold here, which the disciples had no clue about. As I was telling here, Jesus Christ was crucified as a Passover lamb, and rose from the grave at the Feast of the Fruits, the Feast of the First Fruits. Following his resurrection, Jesus spent the next 40 days teaching his disciples before ascending into heaven, and that's what you read in the Acts of the Apostles. That's where Luke, the gospel writer, talks about it and leading us. So there was a promise of the Holy Spirit which was arrived on the day of the Pentecost, on that day, on the 50th day. So that is another name for the Feast of the Weeks or the Festival of Harvest. Now, though the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they had received the Spirit then. So what do you say? The disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit by the resurrected Christ breathing into each one of them. And because they were all gripped in fear, he decided to breathe into them to give new life, to renew and bring in a new creation in the disciples here. Now, if you go back and read even Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you see, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and will be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and ends of the earth. So that is a commission that he's giving here. So what is Jesus giving here? He's not only just filling the disciples or indwelling the disciples with the Holy Spirit, but he's also giving them a commission to go out to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, what does it actually mean? It means that once we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we believe that he is the only one who can redeem us from all our sin, because we are all broken and sinful people, and that we continuously need him. So what does it mean? We need to activate this Holy Spirit. It is like having this mobile with a lot of power. If you don't use it, what happens? It is not being activated. It is not being used. You need to use it. And you need to continuously plug it on. When you plug it on, what happens? The word continues to start filling in, right? The word of God starts filling in there. Then Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed, so that is God himself, God the Holy Father, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. So Jesus Christ himself was filled with Holy Spirit and power. And how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. So Jesus himself required the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So it is a triune God. The triune God is the one that is at work. And God the Father sent his Son to be in this world for a period of time so that they will understand who this physical man was, who this God is, who the true and living God is. But he's sending much more greater, an advocate, a counselor, the Spirit of Truth is what we learn. Now, for this week, very quickly in the next 10 to 12 minutes, I'll just give three important points there. We see here, the experience of the people in the Acts that we heard today here is actually mirrored by the Christians' three ways of life. That is, witnessing in the Holy Spirit, work of the Holy Spirit, and word inspired by the Holy Spirit. Let me repeat it. Witnessing of the, in the Holy Spirit, work of the Holy Spirit, and word inspired by the Holy Spirit. There will be three questions that will be definitely coming into our mind. Question number one, how do I become filled with the Spirit? How do I become filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit? So we have to act and to be a witness. That is what we, that is what is written even in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, which I read some time back. Now, what happens when the Spirit fills me? The second question, what happens when the Spirit fills me? We speak in the language that God is speaking to us. Probably today is a Malayalam service, and I trust and believe that, yes, I probably cannot preach in Malayalam, but yes, the Spirit of God will speak to each one of us. It is because it is His word. It is not about the person here. It is the Holy Spirit that is speaking here. So what does it say? What happens when the Spirit fills? That is, we read that today. We heard that today here. It comes by wind, by fire, and by tongues. Now, then the third question is, how will the Spirit confirm that He has filled me? So He will speak to us from our word. When you have a daily appointment with God, when we spend time on reading His word, the word will start speaking to us on a daily basis. So that is what will happen. These are the three questions that we all probably have. So number one, when we look at witnessing, now I was just reminded about how probably to share about witnessing in the Holy Spirit. We have no power to speak for Christ until we have received the promised Holy Spirit that Jesus was talking about here, which we read in, which we heard today from the gospel reading. Okay, receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. That is, when you receive the Holy Spirit, what happens is there is the remission of our sins through Christ's death on the cross, because we are being only redeemed by His blood, and that is what it is. I'll just give a small example, and then that will help us probably understand it a little bit better as to how to witness. So it was in the year 2006 that I was God called me to be trained for the Haggai leadership in Singapore. Then after I finished this, the following Christmas, I had a big burden that I should go and share Christ to my neighborhood or the community that I lived in India, in Bangalore, and I had a big burden to share it. I was this was at my parents' place there. It was around 10 miles away from the place that we lived, and there are a lot of these Hindu friends that I had. Then I organized a Christmas party, and it was almost every year, last, as Achin was mentioning, last 20 years we have been involved in family ministry, and I decided that yes, let me call all the neighbors. And we used to call them all neighbors in my early years. I used to only call them and just give them some cake and cookies and all of that, and probably some song and all that, and just leave them. So that year, after the heavy burden that I had to witness and share about God, I said, okay, we got one of our friends who was also a preacher. I asked him to come and probably share the gospel in the local language, the language of Bangalore, Karnataka there. Then he shared the gospel there. And when he was sharing the gospel, the friends with whom I used to play cricket and the games that I used to play with, they were all my buddies. They were all there. Two of them just walked out. He walked out very animated and angry. Then he walked out and he questioned me, and he called me by the side and asked me, the Christmas meeting is going on there on top, the party is going on. He calls me by the side, and why did you call me for this? You want to share about your Lord to me, is what he asked me. Then I was a little disturbed. I didn't know how to respond. There's a friend whom I knew, and he's confronting me and asking me this question directly. Then I could not sleep for a few days. Then I just went on my knees and I repented and asked God, forgive me if I have tried to do it in my own way, in my own strength. You know, sometimes when we have the fire of zeal for the Lord, we think we can do it on our own strength. We want to do it in our own way. And I just asked Lord, please Lord, I don't want to break the relationship. Lord, You work, Lord. It's not about me, it's about You. And that was a realization that came into me way back in 2006, that yes, it's not about me, it's about the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me and convicted me. And that's why I like this passage that was read today here about, in this particular passage, just let me just take it. It says this, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So it was the Lord Jesus Christ who really forgave me, and I felt much more at peace. Then after that, months later, I went home to meet Dad and Mom. My dad and mom stayed there, as I said, 10 miles away. And my mom called me and said, my mom was a very godly and a very spiritual lady. She always liked to really do the little things, and she was really the prayer warrior in many ways whenever I used to go out on ministry. She's no more and she's gone to be with the Lord. As part of my story, you'll hear it. Now, so mom called and told me, Biju, like this, the friend whom I said, the friend's mother is suffering from cancer. She's in the fourth stage of cancer. Then she said, why don't you go and meet him and pray for him? I was at ease because though it was not me, I knew it was the Lord that he questioned. I said, okay, let me go and talk to him. I said, I knocked at his door and asked him, can I come in? He said, oh, yeah, you're here. Then he immediately asked me, okay. Then I asked him about the condition of his mom and he explained all of this. Then he said that, he was taking his mom to a cancer institute in Bangalore, and they said that because it was fourth stage and all the doctors and all the relatives and all of them had just given up on this lady, it seems there was one Christian Catholic doctor there, a doctor called Dr. Babsi. So she's the one who's to come in very often and touch my friend's mother and feel the pulse just to see as a doctor how her condition was. When that was being done, you know, she was taking a lot of these painkillers and morphines for her because of the pain that she was going through. And you know, whenever it seems doctor is to touch the pulse of this my friend's mother who was suffering from cancer, it seems all the pain in the body used to go. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know what he said? He said, whenever the doctors to come and touch, pain was not there for many hours. He said, you know what he told me that day? This is a witness he told me. He told me, your people and your God are the one who are concerned about humanity, is what he said. Not that he has become a believer now, he still continues to believe in that God. But he's got a little more open heart to it. So when we witness, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit, he at the same time convicted me, because I want to do it in my own strength. And you see the work of, when you can witness in the Holy Spirit, you can start seeing this. Now, after this, I prayed. I said, I asked Auntie, can I pray? And I prayed. After I finished praying, she immediately said, thank you so much, she said, and went out. Then you know what? This happened in the afternoon. I went home for lunch at mom's place. Then in the evening, this friend of mine calls me and says, Biju, I think my mom's pain is gone. Amen. Hallelujah. That is called witnessing for the Lord. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of Lord works, that is where we will see the power of God. And you know what? The next day, I never called him back, and he called me back and said, hey, not there. Yes, when are you coming again? Because he wanted me to pray to the living God of this universe and this world. I couldn't go back again, but I was really remembering his mother in prayer. But his mother went to be with the Lord. See, that is the power of the risen Christ. That is the power of the resurrection. You and me, I just need to activate that Holy Spirit, and that is what we can witness to the world around. It is not about ourselves, it is not about me, but it is about our Lord Jesus Christ who can do great and mighty things. He can make the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the blind to see. And that is the power that God gives you and me. And that's the same commissioning that Jesus was giving to the disciples. They were gripped in fear, locked in doors, they did not know what to do. But yes, that's the Spirit of the Lord leading. And that's what we see here. Quickly, we move on to the next point, the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Christian work is accomplished in the power of the Holy Spirit with forgiveness. When there is forgiveness and when God works on forgiving, I think when Kochama was sharing with the Bible study here about it in the morning, do we have the grace to ask for forgiveness, to go back to God, to go back to God always? Yes. When we do that with prayer, it leads to power. And it leads to power, and resulting in the miracles that can change lives and the spiritual healing that can happen there. It can happen through prayer. So the work of the Holy Spirit happens through prayer, through power, and there's persecution too. There is trial. It is not easy. He's asking us to take the cross and walk. And are we ready for it? And that is a challenge or question before us. So I just want to share something here. I was also, remember way back, this is in way back in 2011, in November, they had asked me and Sheba to speak at the Bahrain Matama Church for the family conference. So I went there, we had to travel to Bahrain. You know, my mother was on a dying bed. I think my uncle is here. He was also there coming often at hospital to really take care and do the little things that was there. Now, so they asked us to speak for the family conference. Mom was on definitely on a deathbed, and after that she lived just for around 40, 44 days more. And she, you know what? I asked Mom, and there the Achan and the people who had called me were wondering what to do, what not to do. The visa too was not coming on time. I said, let's trust the Lord. I just left it at it. I asked Mom, Ma, I had to go like this. Mom said, you go. She's on a death, dying bed. And she released me for his work. So that is called the release of the Holy Spirit, work of the Holy Spirit. She was a very prayerful lady. She suffered a lot. Now, I still remember. Then she released me to go serve God and to probably do this ministry back in Bahrain then. And it was my cousin who was there in the hospital, my uncle, my dad, all of them were there. Uncle who's here also is here. He's here today, here in the midst here. Then was in hospital with my brother. And my brother just flew in from Dubai for some time when I had to fly. I could not meet my brother. I just flew out with my wife and daughter there to Bahrain for the ministry. My brother landed the next day morning, and God was in control. So, but you know what? I was also gripped a lot. Okay, it's easy to share about it all now in hindsight. I still remember at that time I was gripped with fear. Lord, what is going to happen? If the conference is going to go and I hear this, what is going to happen? But it is the work of the Lord. Amen. Nothing has happened. She lived, after I came back, she lived for almost 38 or 40 days. Don't remember the exact number of days. She lived and she went to, she's gone to be with the Lord. So what we see here? We see here that is there is prayer, there is power, there is trial, there is suffering. He's asking you and me to take the cross when he's asking us to go for to do his work. And that is what we see here. Now, I still remember week on week, I still remember even during the time when she was in hospital for almost close to 58 or 60 days, week on week, I'm also involved in teaching the Bible to youngsters between the age group of 18 to 35 in Bangalore. So week on week, I had to go. You know, without me asking, my mom is in the hospital bed. She'll ask me, Biju, ninnakku indha ponda aayo? Bible study kya? And Saturday morning was the leader's training. Biju, ninnakku ponda aayo? I'm wondering, amazing, pa. She said, nee po. Binsi onda. My cousin who was there in the hospital. I think this is amazing. And you know, and it just leads me to do it. I know it is not an easy path to take. When we decide to commit for the Lord, it is a tough path. You and me should be ready for it. And you know, there is so much amount of healing and prosperity, gospel and all that being spoken about. There's a suffering Christ that is there. And we have to take that up. Are we ready? Is a question before us. Now, if you look at even Jesus and his ministry too, he spent a lot of time in prayer. Before and after his ministry, he spent hours. After his healing, his earthly ministry and all of that, he spent hours together praying while he was on his knees. Now, I'm just reminded of this particular verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. Anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ, in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Yes, if you want to lead a godly life, you will be persecuted. It's not an easy path. But are we ready to take it? Or are we only in our comfort zones and happy about where we are and what God has done in our lives? Can we give it back for the sake of the gospel and change probably this place around America? Okay, we quickly move on to the third point. Yeah, we are through with the next 3 minutes, 3-4 minutes. Now, as I said here, Jesus spent, it's also the word inspired by the Holy Spirit. Jesus spent hours on the scriptures. It was the Old Testament scriptures that he spent meditating and reflecting before he embarked on his missionary journey to. As I said sometime back, Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. So you and me also require that anointing. We need to be inspired by his word. He will continue to talk to us. Sometimes, how do we know it is a confirmation? He will speak to us from his word. He will speak to us from men of God. More than men of God, it will speak to us from our daily word. The word will speak to us. He will comfort us. He will counsel us. He will rebuke us. He will teach us. He will do all of that. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit that we see here. Now, so he will also anoint us with the same power when we have understood God's redemptive plan for creation in this world. He will anoint us and give us a special grace. It's not easy, as I said. not easy. The challenges that come by, the trials that will come by, can we trust God to make a way for all of this? I'll just close with this quote and I'm through. Yes, God is working in our prayers. He's working on our prayers. Victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ through the shed blood of our Son and the Savior Jesus Christ on the cross. I'll just end with this quote. Without the Spirit, this is what Charles Spurgeon said, the great evangelist. He said, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without the wind, branches without sap and like coals without fire, we are useless, is what he says there. Are we useful or useless for his kingdom? Let's ask the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in prayer.
Video will